risen Christ ascended, Lord. All praise to you, let earth accord. Alleluia, alleluia. You are well in the sages run, with Father and with Spirit one. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. We follow the order of Divine Service 3 on page 184 and also printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered.
And those who hate him shall flee before him.
As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away.
As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God.
But the righteous shall be glad.
They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name.
Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him.
Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home.
He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land.
O God, when you went out before your people,
when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain.
Before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel.
Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad.
You restored your inheritance as it languished.
Your flock found a dwelling in it.
In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy.
O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God.
Sing praises to the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Just as a reminder, what we are reading in Acts chapter 1 is after Jesus has ascended into heaven, and now they are waiting in Jerusalem as Jesus told them to do. The Holy Spirit will come on Pentecost the following Sunday, in our calendars Sunday, and they're taking care of some issues, some things that they have to pay attention to while they're waiting in Jerusalem. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons in all was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry in apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, through chapter 5, verse 11. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia,
Alleluia, Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All are yours, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Christ, the Word of God. Retire.
Our sermon reflects primarily on John chapter 17, our gospel reading, but also upon Acts 1 and 1 Peter 4. I reread some of the verses from John 17. Jesus said, "For I have given them the words you gave me, and they have received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." You may be seated. There are two words that you are probably familiar with: justification and sanctification. Justification is that part of the Bible's teachings that tells us how God saves us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus suffered, died, and rose for us. That Jesus has taken all our sins and iniquities on him. And that his blood cleanses us from all our sin. That we can stand righteous before God because of what Jesus has done for us. And that believing in this, having faith in this, this is part of it. I believe Jesus has done all this for us. My sins are saved. Then as a justified Christian who can stand before God because of Christ's holiness and righteousness, God calls us to live in a certain way as his son, as his daughter, perhaps as a spouse with a husband or wife, perhaps as a mother or father raising children, perhaps as a grandma or grandma, aunt or uncle, as an employee, as an employer, as somebody living in the community with neighbors. God gives us different tasks to serve others, to help others. This is our sanctified life. He's sanctifying us. Our sanctified life has mistakes and sins in it. We don't live according to God's love and law perfectly. But he calls us to continue to look to Jesus, to ask for forgiveness, to live the next day, the next week, again and again. But the power of our sanctified life is not from me or from you, not our power. That's the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and gives us power to believe in Jesus, but also to love and to serve. So the scriptures talk about justification and sanctification. Justification is done fully in Jesus. Sanctification happens daily because we're justified. Sanctification means we're living as God's people. Not perfect yet. We need forgiveness daily. But living as God's people because we are God's people. This prayer that Jesus prayed, in a large part, is a prayer about his disciples' justification and sanctification. They're justified, they believe, but now how are they going to live? How are they going to live? And he prayed that to his Father. He says, "I have given them your word." And that is so important for both justification and sanctification, that we have God's word. You see, there are, even Jesus said there can be false prophets that do miracles, even false Christs. And even Satan sometimes can do miraculous things among his people. God's word has to go along with miracles so that we know this miracle is done in the name of Jesus, by Jesus' power, in the name of the triune God. This is what God is about, and this is a miracle in his name. by the power of Jesus. If we don't have God's word attached to a miracle can mislead. A miracle can be something that comes from another power besides the true power of God. Jesus also made sure that his disciples knew that he was the Messiah. Frequently, he quoted Old Testament prophets and he said, these words are about me, about me. And so he taught his disciples to look to him as fulfilling all that needed to be done for their salvation, for victory over sin and Satan. He pointed to himself. He pointed, for instance, that they had no other sign would be given them except the sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so he also would be for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. So he pointed them to understand. They needed to understand that he was the Messiah. He was fulfilling these things. He had done that. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they would understand it better and remember everything he had taught them. Jesus also taught them and then did it. He fulfilled, he completed that suffering and dying and rising. As I was thinking about this, sometimes maybe there is a sense among Christians, maybe never for you, but maybe there's a sense among Christians that it was surprising that Jesus' life would go this way. But it never was surprising to Jesus. Do you remember, even when he was 12 years old, do you remember what he told his mother and his father when he stayed back in Jerusalem? He says, didn't you know I must be in my Father's house? He knew he was the Messiah. He was the chosen one. He would do his Father's will, study the Old Testament prophets, teach them, explain them. But for a time, when he was 12, he needed to be with his mom and dad for a few more years. Scripture says he went back and obeyed them. But his whole life was not a surprise, but it was prophesied. It was meant to be. And God knew, it's clear in the scriptures, God knew before he created the earth whom he would redeem, what the Son of God would do. Before Adam and Eve were created, he knew he would send his Son to be a Savior. So it was not a surprise. And Jesus says very clearly in this prayer in the earlier verses, glorify me. And he's talking about being on the cross because that's where the victory is going to be. John, in his gospel, teaches us. So Jesus, also in this prayer, did you notice that? He prays for his disciples. He says very clearly, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for my disciples, for them. They're still in the world. And now kind of gets to the sanctification part. Our lives in this world. Some things, not everything, but some things that Jesus has taught and wants us to do. We are his witnesses. And Jesus calls us in that vein to be salt and light of the world. So as living is part of God's kingdom, he wants us to be a witness to what Jesus has done. Witness to the scriptures, that as they have informed us what Jesus has done, we witness the scriptures to others. And we bring God's light and God's taste to the world. Without God in the world, everything, death reigns, evil reigns, goes on. But with God, then there is light that breaks through that evil. There is hope that breaks through the hard times. God wants to do that through us. Do you remember that Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? We will see in a moment that Jesus was clear, very clearly wants us to love one another in the church and to take care of each other. But those outside the church, it's interesting, he said, love your enemies. And I double checked. That's the agape love. It's not the friendship love. It's not the romantic love. It's agape love. Love unconditionally your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. But in doing this, we realize that you and I are not the savior of the world. We are not going to convert somebody. We are not going to change somebody. God does this. We are his witnesses, his salt, his light. We pray for the world. We pray for our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. But we won't change them. We can be witnesses, but we won't change them. God will do that. He is the Savior. And so as we are salt and light in this world, we point to Jesus. We point them to Jesus. Remember in what Peter wrote, and this, I'm going off outline a little bit, but he said in our reading, 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." Peter says, if you suffer for the name of Christ, glorify God. Don't suffer for doing evil, or you shouldn't be proud of it, at least. But if you suffer for the name of Jesus, point people to Jesus. Let them see what you're doing is for the name and sake of Jesus, which we see happening frequently in Acts and in the epistles as well in the New Testament. So we point to Jesus. Even if some would suffer or make us suffer or persecute because of Jesus, we point them to Jesus. Jesus prayed for his disciples for their work as being his disciples. And everything we do in life is as his disciples. And as you see, he really prays. This is his desire. He prays to the Heavenly Father, "I have manifested your name to the people that you gave me out of the world," his disciples, those people. "Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." I'm praying for them. This is his intent. This is his desire. All these things he mentions. So what does Jesus want in his prayer? Things he says in his prayer. Did you read how many people were those first Christians? What was the number? You can say it out loud if you want. What was they had? How many? 120, about. 120. Not exactly, but a little bit like a voters' meeting. Because they had to replace Judas. There was a prophecy that there must be 12, and Judas gave up his place. So one had to be replaced. I don't know if we'll ever change our bylaws to make a judgment by lot, shaking some dice, or whatever they used. But they knew it was in God's hands. They knew they had a task to do. They knew that there was a leadership hole that needed to be filled, for the scriptures prophesied this, and so they needed to fill it. And this was God-pleasing. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, but they had some tasks to do, some leadership issues. They said, okay, it should be somebody who's been a witness. From the time John the Baptist was starting and we were knowing about John, and then also Jesus was baptized by John all the way to his resurrection, that person should have known it all, witnessed it by his own eyes. And they came up with two good candidates. And they said, okay, we're not sure these two. God, you show us. We're praying that you show us by this lot who it is. Taking care of leadership work right there in the church, even before Pentecost. These are important things among us. These are important things that God blesses and wants done. What seems to be maybe just of this world or policies and procedures, God says, no, be organized and fill these leadership spots. Then also, Peter really puts forward in his epistle to serve one another with humility, with love and humility. In the church, one of the signs that we are his disciples is that we love one another and that we love one another with humility. And when we don't, then to repent and to move again. But those are very, very important among us. Remember, as Jesus said, that night he washed his disciples' feet. He says, "Now, as I have done for you, wash your feet." Remember, as a servant would wash the feet, you also do for one another. Take care of one another. And he is specifically talking about his church, his people. Peter also reminds us, now cast your worries on Jesus, your anxieties, as our translation says. Don't bundle them up and carry them by yourself. Put them on Jesus. One of our tasks is to remind one another of that. Tell one another and then encourage each other. Put your anxieties, your worries on Jesus. He wants us to do that. The devil does not like Jesus' church to survive and to be humble and loving and caring for one another. The devil doesn't like that. The devil wants to devour whoever he can, to bring down to hell whoever he can. So Peter says, be careful, watch. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. That's one of our anxieties. We need to pray, Jesus, don't let the devil take in my life. If he's in there, get him out. Because he wants to destroy our faith and destroy our community. And one thing Jesus emphasizes at the end of this John 17 reading, and says in other places as well, is the oneness in his name. Now, that oneness is not perfect among us. There is no doubt. And even people will frequently say, well, look at all the different denominations and where is the oneness in the church and so forth. And if you're going to be honest about it, you have to do two things. First of all, you have to say, yes, there is not oneness that we should have. And the second thing is, yeah, there is not oneness, and let's look at the reason. Just don't say, oh, it's not one. Look at the historical development. Why did this happen, and what was the purpose? And look at all those things, the real history of what has happened. Those things happen. But what's the saying? How many fingers do I have pointing back at me? Oh, look at all those different denominations. Look at you Lutherans. Look at everything. Look how all you're not one. Maybe we should look at our own lives, our own families, our own congregation. That's what Jesus prayed about, that they, this group of people, would be one, one. And he prays, God, as you and I are one. Wow. I will be like that in heaven. But we're trying now. We want to be a sanctified group of people now to be one. Jesus prays for us like this. So, in our sanctified life, we continue to look to Jesus as he who has saved us and forgives us. But then in our sanctified life, Lord, help me in my family, help me at job, help me at school, help me in my congregation, so that these things can happen. Because this is your will. We know these things are Jesus' will. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for justifying us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the holy power of your Holy Spirit, you sanctify us in our lives. We ask your forgiveness when our sanctification, our lives, don't match up with your will, and even with this beautiful prayer of Jesus for us. But we ask you to empower us again each day to live according to your will, to understand it better. And Heavenly Father, help us to love, help us to be humble, help us to be one, help us to be witnesses. Thank you for even allowing us to do this. Thank you for even allowing us to know this. And give us confidence and protection from the evil one who wants to destroy us as Christians or destroy us as a church. But help us to honor and lift up the name of Jesus and take care of one another. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand and sing the offertory. The offering is brought forward during the offertory. Right before we go into the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church printed in the bulletin, we pray the response of prayer on the half sheet. We pray the response of prayer on the half sheet. Lord God, you have sustained our nation in the past and continue to bless us. We recall how so many have given their lives to the cause of freedom. Men and women continue to sacrifice and serve in the armed forces. Today we pause to reflect and honor these who gave or who continue to sacrifice so much in the defense of our freedom to be faithful. We remember the great courage and selfless service of so many throughout history who have answered the call to serve. We remember their honorable sacrifice for the freedom of others. Comfort the families who mourn the loss of loved ones. Comfort also those who suffer permanent injuries as a result of serving our nation in the military. We remember with thankfulness the millions of Americans who give so generously of their life and labor in times of national conflict, particularly the family members of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen. We are grateful for the devotion and sacrifices of military families. Grant us the resources and willing hearts to support them. Lord, you prayed earnestly for your disciples, that they would be kept in your name, filled with joy and sanctified in your word of truth. Keep our chaplains in your name. Fill them with the joy that comes from knowing you have defeated sin and death. Sanctify their ministry in your word of truth. Gracious Lord, we ask for your strength for our chaplains who serve in the wounded warrior wards and in our military hospitals as they provide pastoral care to hurting and wounded veterans and their families.
Lord,
mend the wounds of all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Grant their physicians knowledge and wisdom as they seek the best treatments for their patients' suffering. God of mercy, grant patience and insight to our chaplains who serve in all branches of our armed forces. Only through your sustaining love can they move out daily with confidence and joy. These and all things we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of God, that she would be protected from every attack of the prowling lion, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For protection against Satan's seductions and terrors, that no false doctrine or ungodly living would gain a foothold among us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For endurance and patience, that where the devil incites enemies against God's word and church, the saints may rejoice to share in Christ's sufferings. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
The work of our missionaries and chaplains, that the seeds they sow would bring forth the harvest of our Lord Jesus, that they would endure fiery trials for Christ's name, that they would shine the light of his gospel into the hostile darkness, and that they would rejoice in tribulation to share the sufferings of the Lord who suffered for us all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and all people of the world, that peace and justice would overcome war and violence, liberty reign over oppression, and that the holy angels would guard those who defend us in the armed forces and protect us in our communities. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the work of Zion Lutheran's food pantry, that both body and soul of participants, volunteers, and donors may be nourished and kept safe, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and the distressed, that those whose hearts are heavy, those whose lives are burdened, those who mourn, and all who are in need, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Ezekiel, the Rodriguez family, Charles, Sandy, Jeanette, Sandy, and Pastor Shewe, and that they would be granted healing and given God's peace, which passes all understanding. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith to recognize the body and blood of our Lord Jesus and to receive the blessed food in the Holy Communion, and for guidance to live faithfully here on earth until we live with him eternally, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, as the first Christians devoted themselves to prayer and worship following Christ's glorious ascension, preserve us in the same until we are raised with all the saints to your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We stand and receive the dismissal blessing. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our final hymn, 482.
this joyful Eastertide.
Away with sin and sorrow.